This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is episode 332. I'm your host Duncan McLeish. Welcome to the show. Up on this episode, we are continuing our look at Dexter New Blood, the new Showtime season, continuing the saga of Dexter Morgan. This is episode number 7 in the series that we'll be looking at, Skin of Our Teeth. And yeah, a review of that episode coming up after the first break. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the final proper week of podcast Under the Stairs of 2021. And between now and Friday, you'll be getting an episode every single day. Now, let me stress, whilst I say we are closing the doors for a couple of weeks over Christmas, unlike previous years, I will be putting out content. I will only be doing episodes of Dexter, though. So on the Monday, in between Christmas and New Year, and the Monday just after New Year, I will be recording for you listeners out there my reviews, my musings, if you will, on Dexter New Blood. So that will cover episodes 8 and 9. And then obviously the week after that, we will conclude the season proper by sitting down and doing the season finale. So yeah, that will be happening in between. So I'm saying I'm disappearing, I just mean all the other usual shit that you get from me is having a pin put in it over Christmas so I can enjoy some time off with the fam. Now, this week is shaping up to be a bitchin' week to go out on, to say the least. It starts right here with this episode of Dexter New Blood. Tomorrow you get the conclusion of our Russian Roulette franchise retro, looking at the Children of the Corn franchise. The last four films will be covered with four different guests on that episode dropping Tuesday. On Wednesday you get the penultimate Listener Choice December episode. This is the dream double bill of true crime documentaries. Myself and Darren Wilson will be looking on that episode at Tales of the Grim Sleeper from 2014 and Dear Zachary from 2008. Thursday is Movie Club, so if you want to get part in, or take part in the final Movie Club of 2021, you need to get your review into me no later than Wednesday for it to make the show. It'll be the final one we're doing on Mario Bava, and it'll be your guys' reviews, the listeners out there, on Rabid Dogs. So that is coming Thursday, and then on Friday, the final episode proper of the year will be a Christmas Eve commentary. It's traditional Under the Stairs. We've been doing them for, wow, 6 years, 7 years maybe now. Myself and the Baz and potentially one young Mr. Liam Rafferty will be sitting down and looking at your pick of Dead Alive. So that'll be dropping on Christmas Eve relatively early, because the plan is that you will have all day to wrap your presents and get yourself in the festive mood to hear Baz be utterly disgusted at that phenomenally gross Peter Jackson movie. So that is the lineup there. On the Teapots Collective, all the plans went out the window. You knew they would. The only episode from Teapots Collective you're getting before we close the doors this year is a Doing the Nasty episode, which will be dropping into your feeds tomorrow. That'll be episode number 24. And yeah, that will conclude the Teapots Collective for the year. Next year, we will make up some lost ground on Opera Omnia. It's my intention to have that final season, season 3, wrapped up in, well, I say final season, season finale wrapped up in January, so you get two movie reviews there, and then Chronicle will officially kick off the way it probably should have in hindsight, at the start of a brand new year. So Chronicle will kick off in January with Where to Begin With coming back end of February, beginning of March, in or around that time. So there you go, ladies and gents. That's you all caught up with what is happening, the shenanigans, if you will. We're going to take a very short break just now. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You're going to hear the teaser trailer for episode number 7 of Dexter New Blood. When I return, I'm discussing that right after this.
This is Michael Caine, award-winning film actor you may know from such cinematic achievements as A Muppet's Christmas Carol and Jaws for the Revenge, where I played a character named after a fucking sandwich. I approve of the following promotional message.
Do you like movies? Well, of course you do, you silly twit. You're listening to a movie podcast right now. Do you like podcasts about movies? I mean, if you're listening to this, your life is empty and without direction. So of course you do. Why not continue the spiral downwards with...
They must be destroyed on sight!
Yet another semi-regular podcast about film that will occupy some of that empty space in your soul. We cover every genre, but focus on a lot of obscure and cult films with a leaning towards exploitation. If you want a podcast that's going to talk about a silent film from the 1920s one week and a sleazy biker film from the 1960s the next, and then back to something like Singing in the Rain the next episode,
they must be destroyed on sight.
Maybe for you. So tune in and join regular hosts Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and Lee Hardy, as well as the odd guest host at tmbdos.podbean.com. Thank you, Drive Through.
There's not much to go on, but that's where you come in. Dexter Morgan, forensics expert. He's drifting further toward Kurt.
Who is probably a murderer.
Yeah, and so are you.
Wow, that's fair.
You know, there was a time when I thought you and I would be friends.
Except you kill innocent women and I kill guys like you.
And welcome back. So you've just heard, ladies and gents, that trailer, teaser trailer for Skin of Her Teeth. This is episode number 7 of 10 planned episodes for Dexter New Blood. This aired originally 19th of December 2021. The director of this episode was Sanford Bookstaver. And yeah, Clyde Phillips and Kiersa Rain are behind the writing of this particular episode. As always, we'll give you the cast. Most of these returning names, we have Michael C. Hall, Jack Alcott, Julia Jones, Johnny Sequoia, Almo Miller, Clancy Brown, Jennifer Carpenter, John Lithgow, and we're going to get to that, Jamie Chung, Sheila Hensley, Gregory Cruz, David Majidov, Michael Cyril Creighton, Katie Sullivan, Pamela Matthews, Dustin Tucker, Merit Janssen, and Jessica Perry. Synopsis for episode number 7 is Dexter turns from predator to protector out of concern that a serial killer has set his sights on someone he cares deeply about. So this is the kind of the answer to the question raised in the last episode of, well, how are they going to bring this all in? Things seem to be moving a bit quick. We have a lot of information now with the police ultimately finding a body and pretty much, you know, all but fingering Kurt Caldwell as the killer, and the truth about Dexter being out as far as Angela knows, and some more information about the kind of violent tendencies of young Harrison, Dexter's son. We don't necessarily do a lot in this episode, but we cover a lot of ground, which is kind of cool. I suppose the best way to do this is how we've done it in all the previous episodes, is we'll pick a character's thread and we'll kind of follow it to the end of the episode, linking up with the other threads as we go along. So if we start with Harrison's thread, which is maybe the most inconsequential of the whole episode until the end. So, Harrison, this is kind of after the arm-snapping incident at the wrestling tournament. Harrison has essentially, you know, gets up the following day, which is where the episode starts, with Dexter, you know, preparing breakfast, the two of them sharing moderate pleasantries, and Harrison telling Dexter, listen, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to do some gym practice for wrestling, and then I'm going to go work for Kurt Caldwell. And, you know, Dexter isn't pleased about that. Harrison doesn't give a fuck. And his character leaves. The next time we see Harrison, he is essentially at his first day of work. He's kind of washing trucks. And, well, actually, no, that's not true. The first time we see Harrison, he's actually communicating with Audrey at school. It's after a class. The two of them had hooked up. And Harrison's kind of over saying, we should spend some time together. Listen, I really like you. I don't want to get you in trouble, but I think we should, you know, I think you like me. And she's like, yeah, I like you. And he's like, well, let's do stuff. And we get this flash of her saying, well, I kind of don't really want to spend time with you at the moment because I saw you snap a guy's arm yesterday. Kind of understanding that rage that he'd been talking about before. And Harrison calling it off, not really wanting to be involved with this conversation anymore, which is kind of Harrison's MO, by the way. He's very good at throwing, very bad at kind of having stuff thrown at him, if you know what I mean. We then see him at work. He's washing one of the trucks. Dexter will make an appearance, which will ultimately upset Harrison. He's not very happy about that. And we're going to put a pause on the Harrison story and now jump back to the Dexter story, where basically we'd left off in the previous episode. Julia Jones, playing Angela Bishop, the chief of police, had found the dead body of Iris, her best friend, in this cave. It's been there for 25 years. And we left the episode with her making a call to Jim, aka Dexter, basically saying, I don't need Jim, I need Dexter. So Dexter shows up and, like, we instantly, I mean, we guessed why, but she all but lays out why she's called for him, because he was a top-notch forensic investigator, and she needs that here. So Dexter very quickly establishes that she was killed by, you know, a rifle shot, but she wasn't killed there. The body was rather dragged to this spot here, that she was still alive when she was buried. And on top of all that, in her teeth, there looks to be some flesh, some very decomposed flesh, but some DNA in there. And he kind of tells her, listen, you might be able to get an idea of a genetic profile, but I wouldn't hold your, you know, you still need to narrow it down and find out who it is. And Angela very quickly says to Dexter, listen, I think it's Kurt Caldwell, because he was the guy that called off the search. Right as we were about to search these caves. So, you know, that's the way it's leading there. Dexter, interestingly enough, doesn't, if anything, he kind of leans into this theory. It will be explained later on, but it's an interesting one as to why he leans into this. We then, next time we see Dexter, is the breakfast scene we mentioned about with Harrison. As Harrison leaves, Deb shows up, and Deb's like, listen, we need to kill Kurt. I love the Deb's twist. Like, 1 minute she's like, no killing, no killing. Now she's like, listen, this is protector time. We need to protect Harrison. The way to do that is, you know, let's kill this guy. And Dexter's like, well, no, listen, she's got evidence. She's going to build a case. Well, we know he's a creep. We got those vibes anyway. So we'll let the police do their job. Harrison will see Kurt get arrested. And if anything, it should tighten our bonds together. Because if I kill him, the body has to disappear. And it's another person that's abandoned Harrison, which isn't great for him. And we get this great shot of Deb's kind of walking away saying, yeah, leave it to the police, what's the worst that can happen? And then we see the shot, the gunshot that kills her ultimately, start to red up with blood. And it's this reminder that, you know, Dexter's a master of his own domain. He's really in charge of what can and can't happen. And sometimes it's better if he takes the front seat as opposed to the police, who have to obey things called laws. If we jump ahead again, we then have Dexter taking Angela out to the cabin. And like, she's like, well, I didn't know this cabin existed, and I know every square inch of the territory that I'm chief of police for. And Dexter's explaining how he found out about this, that he'd overheard a conversation in the bar between Molly Park and Kurt Caldwell, and it seemed a bit weird, so he followed him out to make sure she was safe, and in following her, he arrived just in time, but there was this whole kind of apartment thing underground, and there was a camera, and when they arrive, everything's been stripped and cleaned with bleach, so Kurt Caldwell is basically hiding his tracks here. He's covering up any potential blood with bleach, which, by the way, isn't fully effective, so I'm surprised he didn't mention anything about that. And then, as pertains to the actual kind of apartment itself, everything has been removed. It's been stripped bare, and even the bath and the sink and all the rest, kind of shattered and destroyed. So this is instantly leading to more suspicion on Kurt. And at this point, Angela isn't really suspecting Dexter of anything, because Dexter's kind of helping. Dexter says, you know, like, my sister used to bounce ideas off me, so if you want to bounce some ideas off me, we can see what we come up with. And Dexter also has to come clean that, listen, Molly was here, this is how I know about this place, and I told her I wouldn't say anything, and I'm kind of breaking that vow to do that, and I don't feel great about it, but, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And we have that kind of, that kind of plays out the way it's kind of expected to. Dexter then next appears, kind of stalking Kurt Caldwell. You know, he wants to keep tabs on him. He shows up at his son's first day at work to get a coffee, which we mentioned earlier on, ultimately embarrasses Harrison, who just has trust issues anyway. Sorry. But what's even funnier there is that we get Kurt Caldwell's, what does he keep saying? Whenever you're angry or feeling negative thoughts towards someone, you do something nice, kill them with kindness almost. And he arrives with a bit of cake for Dexter, and they have this weird conversation where, and I love Clancy Brown in this role, he's like, he maybe is the most, like, at the moment they're setting him up to be more formidable than Trinity, just the way his mind works. He appears to be, there's a line later on in this where Dexter says that he thinks that Kurt on some level likes everyone to think they're a step ahead of him, but actually he's already got an out. And you see that here, where he's basically saying to Dexter, you know, there was a time that I actually thought me and you could be friends. You know, like, I felt that. You were there. You allowed me to search for my son on your land, which you didn't have to do. That night that I came out drunk when it was snowing, and he makes emphasis on, you know, when it was snowing, and you just happened to be there. And that was, you know, it was, you know, it was very fortuitous. It was fate. And all the rest. And there's a kind of wry smile on his face when he's saying this, but that conversation is cut short when Angela appears to arrest Kurt Caldwell. Now, she arrives to arrest him, and she gives Dexter the kind of, what the fuck are you talking to this guy, who just a couple of minutes ago I said could realistically be a killer. What, why would you do this? And this is Dexter's curiosity. He can't help himself. So Kurt Caldwell gets arrested. We're going to do a run on Kurt Caldwell's story towards the end of this, but essentially, like, Dexter's kind of next moments in the episode are really trying to keep tabs on what is happening with Kurt, you know, texting Angela to find out if he's talked yet. Angela's saying he's not, but he will, this sort of stuff. So he's on the outside, and to be honest, things with Harrison and Dexter are just not great at the moment. The following morning, Dexter offers to drive him to work, and Harrison is instantly suspicious, but, you know, ultimately relents. So we'll circle back to their story. Let's jump back now and do a bit of Angela's story. So, like we said before, Angela's episode kind of starts off with the, you know, continuing on the story of the found body of Iris, and then ultimately arresting Kurt Caldwell, obviously telling Iris's mum, who is technically, you know, grandmother to Audrey, all, you know, giving her the news. We see the grief, etc., kind of play out there in the montage. She arrests Kurt Caldwell, so she brings him in, and she is super cocky that she's got her guy. Molly Park shows up, and she's like, why didn't you fucking tell me? Let's get this thing on, let's get recording. And Angela basically tells her, listen, bridges have been burned here. You went away and did the one thing I told you not to, and if I can't trust you, then what the fuck are we doing here? You need to go. So it looks like their relationship has kind of split off. And then we get we get a bit of Angela being a boss bitch, sitting down with Kurt and questioning him. And Kurt's playing this all very much like, this is a big mistake. It's going to hurt your career, you know, if you don't do something. Like, I mean, I have nothing to do with your friend. And Angela sets out her case here, which is Kurt was in the town at the time, so he would have known who Iris was. And even if he had never met her before, these missing posters have been up every year since. Kurt's playing into this. Kurt's hoping that her emotional investment to the case is clouding her vision, which is basically how he plays her like a fiddle here. But what she says is, listen, you've got a scar on the side of your hand. How did you get that? He says, well, you know, I work with all these different materials all the time. You're going to get cut. You're going to get scars. And she's like, well, really? Because we found DNA that we can link back to you. And Kurt's like, well, I never consented to you taking a DNA sample. She's like, well, you kind of did. When your son went missing, we had to take a DNA sample from you. So we've ran it against that. Match, bingo. Case closed, bookum dano. And it looks like Kurt's maybe overplayed his hand here, but he really hasn't, because he's one step ahead. And what we get is like a masterstroke by this character. Like Kurt's character really levels up in this episode, and you finally start to get an idea of who you're actually dealing with. So those like bouts of rage that we've seen thus far, you know, where he doesn't get exactly his way and he gets frustration from it, belie a very, 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 very sharp mind. Like, he kind of manipulates, almost a Dexter level of manipulator, which I think is kind of awesome, because the best villains Dexter's ever went up against are the ones that were just as good as Dexter, or Dexter kind of underestimated them, and as a result, they got what they needed, ultimately. In the end, they didn't, because they all died. But Kurt gets his lawyer in, and then weaves a story. And this story, I think, is part truth and part... Well, what's interesting about it is we get the backstory of Kurt as a kid and the things that made him the killer he is. But on the other side, we also get, while he's spinning a different narrative, what actually happened to Iris. So the story he's going to tell is that his dad was very abusive to his mum. As a wee kid, he grew up in that. His mum eventually ran away from his dad. He didn't take him with him. So he grew up with him and would be put in the back of his haulage truck as he was out picking up prostitutes, who then subsequently beat the shit out of, while Kurt would sit in the back of the kind of lorry listening to Runaway, which is the song that he always plays as his kickoff. So this is his trigger. So his trigger warning, the trauma that, you know, shaped his serial killing mind. And he spins a story that basically he remembers Iris being picked up by his dad, and he has to assume that his dad killed him, and they would share DNA on some level, and that's obviously the DNA that he collected. It's not his, it must be his dad's. But whilst that's playing out, the TV show is showing you a young Kurt Caldwell pick her up, drive her along, actually try and be the nice guy in this situation. He's not being stalkery, he's not being rapey, he's not being murdery. He's kind of like, listen, we'll just get you home. And when Iris rejects and he tries to reach over to console her, she bites his hand, which is the scar he's got, which is the DNA in her mouth, and she makes a run for it. He loses his temper, and by losing his temper, he shoots her with the rifle, which I'm assuming is his first kill. I dare say we'll get more information on this. And it's obviously done something that he relives this over and over and over again through the killings that he's doing, you know, ultimately keeping them hostage and letting them go. Now, this show might take a wicked twist in the next episode and show me a further backstory, but I think that's the kind of setup. What we find out from the DA who's called in to, you know, observe this confession, which isn't a confession, is ultimately this is like a moot point. Like, it's a 60% match, which isn't strong enough for a jury to convict, and his story could be true. So Kurt Caldwell is released. Now, linking it back to the Dexter story, the night before Kurt Caldwell is released, Harrison's out cleaning one of the trucks, and one of the guys whose truck is being cleaned, who I believe is played by Gregory Cruz in this episode, a guy, I think his character's called Abraham, he asks Harrison to help unload the lorry. And when he's helping him unload the lorry, he gives him an envelope for his dad, which Harrison will obviously give Dexter. Dexter will open and there is a pin inside it, like a screw pin. Dexter will create a scene to clear out the police station and then confront Kurt, who I think at this point now understands that he's dealing with someone. He's like, Kurt's playing dumb to get Dexter to show, well, one, he's prepared to break into a police station, two, he's prepared to confront me. And what I love about this is Kurt basically says, you have no power over me, I'm an adult, you can't control me, you can't control Harrison either, by the way, you're not very good at that. And you know, you remember when we were talking about how you picked me up that night and it was snowing and I was drunk and all the rest, and it got me thinking, well, actually, when I got home, this isn't snow. If anything, it felt like kind of ash. And what would cause ash? A fire. And a fire cleans away everything. But you know what it doesn't clean? It doesn't clean titanium pins. And of course, Dexter then realizes that Kurt Caldwell's son, who he murdered in the first episode, survived a boating accident. There are metal pins in his body. Those metal pins in the body did not melt down. Kurt Caldwell has obviously went out there and raked through to find it, and Kurt suspects that Dexter is at a minimum the guy who murdered his son, if not the guy who just mainly disposed of the body. So he's got a theory which, you know, puts Dexter on the back foot now. Kurt Caldwell being released. The last thing we'll do before we link back to the conclusion of this episode with Harrison and Dexter is a scene in, well, basically Angela's trying to console herself for the fact that, you know, ultimately Kurt is released, and Molly comes up to speak to her and they start talking, and Molly's like, listen, not everything is always so neatly wrapped up, but by the way, FYI, Kurt is a creep. Like, I got those vibes for him, so I think you were probably on the right road. But actually, now that I think about it, I'm like, how did Jim know where I was? And of course, Angela relays the story, which Molly then pokes further holes into. She's like, listen, there's no way he heard our conversation at the bar if he was sitting over here, because we can't hear what the people at the bar are saying just now. Unless I do remember him leaving his phone, but why would he record the conversation? And why is your boyfriend such a creep? And actually, if he's, you know, if you weren't so close to him, maybe we could see if he's hiding something. And Angela's obviously got that look in her face going, I know he's not, says he is. And so we now have Molly and Angela very suspicious on one Kurt Caldwell, but also once again now very suspicious about one Jim Lindsay, aka Dexter Morgan. So it's come full circle in this episode, which I kind of like. There's a really interesting nod here for anyone that listened to the old Shockwaves podcast back in the day, or Killer POV. There's a character that is made mention to in this episode who has given a check to Kurt, called Elric Kane. And Elric Kane is a filmmaker, a podcaster, a university lecturer, I believe now, and just general all-round genre know-it-all. And he has a tangential link to the writing staff that are involved with Dexter, so I'm going to think that's why his name is in this, and it did give me a little chuckle here. I'm going to like take a step back now and actually say that, and I might be totally wrong, and this might be full-on speculation, it was a check for £5,000, right, to some guy called Elric Kane, right, and it was paid essentially to Kurt, I believe, or Kurt was paying some guy called Elric Kane, played by, you know, Sean Halsey, the actor who we've not met yet, but I don't know, like, because my brain first started thinking, is this a Dangerous Game situation where Kurt's kidnapping girls and there's a group of people hunting them? And it's not just all kind of Kurt that's doing it. It's kind of, you know, it's the most dangerous game. It's like hunting people for sport. And now I'm not sure. I don't know if maybe the Elric Kane character is the guy who checks out at the, you know, at the hotel under the assumed name of Kurt's son, Mike. So that needs to play out, and I don't know how that's going to play out yet, but they make an obvious detail. I have to hope that the obvious detail of seeing a check with the name Elric Kane isn't purely just a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, my friend, and the guy who does podcasts and all the rest is a guy called Elric Kane. I'd like to think it's not that. I like to think it's something deeper, and we won't find out until the end, but there's only three episodes left. So to break a kind of a conspiracy, a cabal, if you will, of people murdering women seems a bit far-fetched, and I kind of was kind of thinking against it until the very end of the episode, and something happens where I was like, oh shit, right, maybe there is something going on here. Let me tell you for why. Harrison is kind of tidying up for his work. Some of the opposing wrestling squad show up, and they want retribution for the kid whose arm Harrison broke in the previous episode. They make a move to gang attack him. Harrison pulls out that the straight razor that he's been holding for a while and used before, and takes a slash. Dexter stops it just in time. And then we get from Harrison that, you know, he feels that he's a psychopath. He feels that his brain's slipping away, that there's a darkness inside, that after he listened to this podcast, the nightmares he'd been having all his life started to, you know, form as repressed memories. He remembers Trinity killing his mother. He remembers Trinity killing Rita. And then we get the cameo that I've been waiting for ages, and I'm hoping we get at least another one, because it was amazing to see him. But John Lithgow returns as Trinity in this flashback, and we see, you know, his legs getting out the bloody bath, because that's part of his killing thing, is he would kill the women in the bath, and he, you know, comes down and basically tells Harrison that his dad will be home soon, which is how we obviously found Harrison and at the end of season 4. So it was cool, it was geeky. I kind of got all excited, and I'm hoping we get some more John Lithgow, at least in one or two more flashbacks moving on. But Dexter, upon realizing this, Harrison runs away. Dexter looks in the car and basically all but says, listen, I'm going to need to tell him who I am. I'm going to need to come clean with him. I'm going to need to let him know all my stuff. And at that point, the guy, ladies and gents, who gave the envelope to Harrison with the pin in it that works for Kurt Caldwell, shows up and puts something round Dexter's neck, and it fades out on this episode. So Dexter has been kidnapped, essentially, by one of Kurt Caldwell's henchmen, which now makes me think, maybe there is a cabal of people hunting women. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like the next level of hunters, and maybe this guy is one of them. Or maybe he's just this guy that got paid a sum of money to rough up Dexter. I don't know. All I know is Kurt Caldwell is a couple of steps ahead of everyone in this show. And now he not only fully suspects that Dexter murdered his son and disposed of the body, and doesn't appear to be angry about it at the moment, although I'm sure that's going to change. But on top of that, he's paid someone to kidnap Dexter. And on the other side, Angela and Molly are going to have to try and work out what the fuck they need to do to bring Kurt Caldwell down, and why the fuck Dexter's been acting so creepy. 3 episodes left. I really liked this episode. I don't think it was good as the previous one, but then once again, we set up a lot of stuff. This was answering a lot of those questions without necessarily propelling the story forward. Not a huge amount happens, but enough to set up what will be the last 3 episodes. So, I, you know, from that point of view, I would give this episode a 4.5 out of 5. Still great. This is really, really, really is an excellent TV series this year. It's become one of these things that I'm giddy to sit down and watch the next installment. And the next installment, episode number 8, will be dropping just after Christmas, ladies and gents. So you'll be getting it on, what, December the 27th? The Monday's the 27th? So yeah, you'll be getting the next installment then. I'm going to take my final break. When I come back, I'm closing out the show, and I'm doing it right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
Uh, And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs, ladies and gents. This has been episode 332, covering episode number 7 of Dexter New Blood. The episode was called Skin of Our Teeth, and it was pretty motherfucking banging. Trinity, my homeboy. Hello, Dexter Morgan. I just want to watch it. I want to watch it so fucking bad. And we'll find out where this goes next week. There's a multitude of ways to check out podcasts on the stairs. Wherever you're listening to us right now, hit subscribe. That we get the shows as and when they drop, and access to the entire back catalogue of Teapot's content. Don't stop there, though. Don't you dare. Subscribe to our sister feed, the Teapot's Collective, to get shows like Opera Omnia, Doing the Nasty, Where to Begin With, and Chronicle. That's right. It's all over there on that feed, plus their archive. Subscribing to both those feeds, best way to support what I do under the stairs. If you hate using podcatching devices, you can find all those shows on tputscast.com, the website for everything I do, which also contains a secret link to a show called Jaws of Shite and Other Regrettable Outbursts, a booze-based banter entertainment podcast featuring myself, The Baz, and Scott Lane from Scott Lane vs. Evil. Jaws of Shite and Other Regrettable Outbursts, exclusively available on tputscast.com. If you want to interact with me on the social medias, facebook.com/groups/teapotscast will get you the podcast Under the Stairs. facebook.com/teapotscast gets you the Teapots Collective Facebook page, because it's just a page, because it's loads of shit and I have it under one banner. It's a Facebook page. If you want to get down and dirty and a little bit seedy and a little bit grubby and need a shower after writing on Jaws' Shite and Other Regrettable Outbursts Facebook page, it's facebook.com/groups/regrettablepod. If you hate Facebook and you want to interact with myself and Baz on a different medium, then may I suggest the twin prongs of social media sexiness, Instagram and Twitter. You can follow both at teapotscast. Couldn't be any easier. The podcast Under the Stairs returns tomorrow, concluding a Russian Roulette franchise retro on the Children of the Corn franchise. All will be revealed with the final four episodes, or final four movie reviews, and my listing in order of a series which I have predominantly hated. So yeah, very much looking forward to putting that one to fucking bed. That is coming your way tomorrow, as well as on the Teapots Collective, an episode of Doing the Nasty. So until then, wherever you are, whatever the time zone is, and whatever you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.